Welcome back to Making Conversation, a podcast that features conversations with artists and designers about the journey from bright-eyed newbie to fame monster. Welcome to episode 4. My name is Justin Ulm, and this is my co-host,
Sean the Prawn.
And we are here with
Albert Law.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, obviously, we don't need to know your name because we already know you. So who wrote these questions? Question one should be stricken from the list.
I blame Stephen Harper for this. Always.
As you all know, Sean blames Stephen Harper for something every show. So,
man, conservative government.
On Seinfeld, they always tried to drop a Superman reference every episode. On this show, we always blame Stephen Harper for something. I'd like to say to our listeners that you'll notice the explicit tag has appeared on our iTunes feed, and we would like to celebrate that tonight.
Yes. Fuck.
Fuck.
Fuck, man.
Fuck.
I fucking love it.
This is a fucking podcast.
And you guys are fucking hilarious. Fucking here. We should totally be drunk right now.
Albert, where are you from?
I was born in Vancouver, and I've stayed here pretty much all my life.
That's boring.
Yeah, I know. I told you should have left that question out.
Nice. So you are West Coast through and through?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you're originally from here. You've always been here.
Yeah.
Yeah, believe it or not, Albert is my buddy from grade 8.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, Sean used to be really fat in high school.
200 pounds, I swear. Really?
Can we get some before and after photos on the website?
We should bring out the yearbook.
Oh, yeah, I should, eh? I'll scan it for you guys.
Yeah, cool. I had no idea. I would have never known. So I only knew Sean as thin, so.
Oh, yeah, he worked out like crazy. He had like a six-pack at one point. I don't know if that was Photoshop or not, gone. But.
It's all gone.
Yeah.
Man.
I was a chubby kid in high school.
Yeah.
I was in that boat, too.
You still are.
it's true.
I mean, sometimes I wish I was chubby, but...
I sit on my ass all day, so...
Oh, man. So, Albert, tell us about what you're doing today.
Today?
Yeah.
Like, right now?
No, like 15 minutes before.
Well, I was at home working on my portfolio, trying to just get things going and, you know, whore myself out to the local people who would hire me, I guess.
Yeah.
Trying to bring in the money.
Sounds very lovely.
Yeah. Typical life of a designer.
So what did you do for lunch?
For lunch?
Yeah.
I don't remember, actually.
No. God dang.
I know what I ate for lunch.
What did you have?
Shrimp bisque and
sounds really good.
Ham, brie, and mushroom sandwich.
Sounds so fancy.
Yeah.
I had rice and tofu.
We actually had the questions written like offshore in India or something. You know, so.
Yeah, it's only like 10 cents an hour.
Yeah. That's
funny. I can just see the classified ad. It's like, yeah, we need questions for our podcast.
Compensation TBD.
A real copywriter makes like $50 an hour or something. Like those guys would do it for like two.
12-year-old in India making 5 cents an hour.
Wow. Living the dream.
So don't send your portfolio to those places.
Never. Okay, Albert. Were you creative as a child? Man.
You mean like, did I draw when I was a kid?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I played with a lot of Lego. I drew... I don't know what I drew, but... I did a lot of drawing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I would be kind of classified as creative as a child.
Very sexy. Yeah, you are known for like drawing naked dogs back in high school.
No, it was only naked portraits of you, and you weren't supposed to find out.
Chubby Sean Choi. When I was taking yearbook class with Albert, he was starting... Like, he was, like, so into, like, photography and stuff. Is that, your turning point when you got into a photo?
Oh, there's a serious question. Okay, yeah. I thought you were going somewhere else. Okay.
Hey, we got these from India, man.
Yeah.
Like, these are
match.
Serious questions.
I think we were getting lost.
It's good.
I'm confused.
Yearbook? Yeah, I think that's the first time I kind of did photography. I was never really into photography or design. Yeah. First time I did design was Mr. Ireland's kind of EDP class, which was right. newsletter publishing, mm-hmm. which I almost dropped because it sounded kind of stupid, but I went through with it. So here I am today.
What does EDP stand for?
Electronic Desktop Publishing, I think.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of got me starting to design, and then that brought me into Yearbook. And then I guess as an editor in the Yearbook, they needed some photos and nobody else was available. So mm-hmm. I grabbed the camera and started taking random pictures of calculators and stuff. So
I remember
that's
that.
How it got started.
Nice. Yeah, we noticed there was like a large section of design in your portfolio, but it's like below all the photography right now. And we were wondering, you know, so you were a designer before a photographer or a photographer before a designer? Like, where do you see one beginning before the other?
I think they both started at the same time, maybe design a little bit first. And then I went to school for design, got my degree in design. But I guess last year I had to make a decision, you know, which one do I want to focus on? Because I can't really keep going and trying to accomplish really good things with kind of both going on at the same time. So I figured I'd start going to photography full time, mainly because it was more challenging and mainly because it would get me outside to meet more people as opposed to design where I'm at home, you know, sitting in front of the computer, designing for 12 hours a day. I don't really go out and kind of socialize, meet new people and challenge myself. So getting into photography, I guess, was more of a personal development choice. But long term, I think I'm going to get back into design just because that would have a much greater impact on the world. And I think I can bring a lot.
Yeah. So what do you think, man?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong. I really like, it's not like complete garbage.
Yeah. I mean, you can get really good at sending emails to India to get design made, right?
Exactly. I should do that.
Oh gosh.
Did you hear about the guy who outsourced to India his full-time job and then got fired?
What? Holy cow.
Yeah, it was a programmer. He had a programming job for like $80,000 a year. Outsourced it to India for like $20,000 and just like sat on his ass and brought in $60,000 a year.
Holy cow.
For doing
how
nothing.
How long was he able to keep that up?
I think maybe 2 or 3 years.
Wow. Oh,
and it was really good clean code too. Like nobody actually knew until I think someone ratted him out.
Wow.
But like shit, that's pretty smart.
His first name was Justin and last name was Arm, right?
Yeah, I think I remember hearing that.
Like when we have people on the show, we're really interested in what they've worked on in the past and what they're working on now. But we also like to talk about like your process, I guess. And so seeing as a lot of the work you've done in the last year is photography, we'd like to know a little bit about your process. Like, do you have a process?
I don't really have like a set guideline before I go out onto every job. It's, I guess I just kind of wing it because I kind of want to focus on more of the in the moment type of thing. So more documentary and lifestyle. I don't typically pose the people I photograph. So, I mean, the most planning, I guess I do, I would do like a pre-production meeting, kind of meet up with them, get an idea for who they are, what they would do, and then just show up and just kind of document them at work type of thing. So, I mean, yeah, it's just pretty much on the go. Mm-hmm.
Where do you find your inspiration? Like, what is your main source of inspiration to get going on a project?
Miley Cyrus, Justin Bieber, Marilyn Manson.
Yes, and Naked Thoughts of Sean Choi.
We are just taking that explicit tag for all we can get.
Well, I don't think I've dropped the F-bomb yet, actually.
Oh, you should.
I think just living life, I know it sounds like a cheesy answer, but just like everything around me, like I don't really go online to search for like photo inspirations or anything. I just kind of take my experiences and kind of like what I've gone through so far and kind of build upon that, because photography isn't really a job for me. It's more about developing myself. And if I can provide value to a client at the same time, then great. So yeah, coming back to the idea of inspiration, I think it's just being aware of my environment and things going on around me, making sure I go out and expose myself to new things, go out, meet new people, talk to new people, just basically getting outside my comfort zone.
Screw you, man. Okay, Albert, since you have a background in design, what does affect your, oh, how does that affect your photography and how you approach taking photographs and working with others?
I think the main way would be composition. I mean, there's always that awareness of like the end use, like, is it going into a magazine? Mm-hmm. Do I need to leave space for copy? Is it going onto a website? Do I need to shoot landscape? Do I need to shoot vertical? So it's, I guess it's a lot of focus on like the end use and thinking of it from a design perspective and thinking of, you know, what the designer needs, as opposed to, well, I'm feeling artsy today, so I'm going to do this and this. I mean, that's not always the best way to, you know, go, you know, like go about things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we noticed a lot of your photos taken around the LA area and Hawaii.
Yeah.
What brings you to those places?
Beautiful woman.
Yeah. As we expected.
No, it's just like personal projects. I mean, I guess it was my way of getting away from all the rain and clouds in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I like being in the sun. I like being on the beach. So I thought I'd go down to LA and, you know, try something different, because exposing yourself to different environments can give you a lot of new ideas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was part of, I guess, the trip to get outside my comfort zone, travel, do some photo projects. Mm-hmm.
How long did you spend down there?
I was in LA for a week, and I'll probably go again next month, but haven't had time to plan everything with all the work that's been going on right now.
Did you join the KKK crew when you're in LA? Or?
I tried, but because I'm Asian, you know, it didn't quite work out.
I went to LA when I was a kid. Yeah. I think I was 3 or 4 years old. It was a long time ago.
You got kidnapped, right?
No,
fine.
Okay. That's very disappointing.
I was gonna play into that and try and have fun, you know? But yeah, I haven't been there for a while. What is it about that city, I guess? Is it just the weather, or is there something else about LA that brings you back there?
Not sure. I mean, I didn't really spend enough time to really get to know the city. But I mean, I hear horror stories about traffic jams when I was down there. Didn't really experience too much of that, probably because I was traveling off hours when, you know, people were getting off work. I was working and doing photo shoots, and I was driving when they were at work, so I kind of avoided that. But yeah, I mean, the scenery, going down to Malibu, staying at Santa Monica Beach for a week, you know, just living by the beach, I mean, it was really good.
Did you hang out with Charlie Sheen?
No. I mean, unfortunately, I don't smoke crack.
Oh, or Miley Cyrus.
Hey.
Maybe next time.
Yeah.
Does Charlie Sheen smoke crack?
I don't know.
Living the dream.
Yeah. Your photos of military service are amazing.
Thank you.
We really like think they're pretty spectacular, actually.
It's just saying.
And I found them like super interesting to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And dig into. And I've never met you before this, so for me it was sort of like a window into your world a little bit, which I think is pretty cool. Because we don't often get like a glimpse into that world, I guess. I felt like you gave us like a different sort of impression of it than you get out of like CNN or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like CNN, they don't really show you like the daily life. I mean, I guess the photographers just show up for an hour and kind of do their photo thing and then walk off, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's more about getting inside the environment, kind of living with the guys and showing what daily life is like. So it's more immersive.
Mm-hmm.
I try and make it more cinematic, you know, something visually interesting instead of just a snapshot of some guy shooting a gun at something that you don't see, right? I mean, I think that's pretty boring.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important that you show the more human side of people. And that's one thing, I guess, that people don't really expect in the military, because once you put on that uniform, you become part of that, I guess, what's that name? Like a group or, something that you kind of attach your ideas upon, and it gets like really political, right? I think what people kind of miss out is that they don't understand that these are real people. You know, it could be your dad, could be your mom, you know, could be anybody that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it just gets kind of dehumanized in that kind of mainstream media.
Are you currently in the military?
Yeah, I'm in the military part-time with the reserves. So, I mean, I joined 7 years ago, actually. at that point, I was still like this super shy guy, and I was like, fuck it, I need to get outside my comfort zone. So, well, I thought, you know, what's a way to do that? Well, fuck it, I'll join the army and see where it goes, right? So that's basically the main reason. I mean, like, during boot camp, you know, you go around and people say, oh, why'd you join the military? And everybody would say, you know, oh, for queen and country, because I'm patriotic or whatever. And they fucking get, yeah. Wow. Yeah, and then you get to me, and I'm like, to get outside my comfort zone. And they look at me funny. And it's like, oh, okay, you're one of those guys. But, yeah, I mean, like, I think 70 to 80% of the guys,
one of
them, basically joined because they were really proud of the country.
Wow.
I can't say the same. I know it sounds selfish. I mean, there's a very small percentage of people that joined for the experience or for the money, because they give you money for school, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was probably the only one. Maybe there was one more that kind of joined purely to experience it and to get outside your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, I was kind of different. My title is Bombardier, which is, I guess, a fancy name for corporal, because in the artillery, we've got our traditions and we get different names for different ranks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm basically a corporal. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
What does that mean?
A corporal? Yeah. It's the guy with the two stripes, you know, like, oh, okay. not quite the private, but not quite, you know, yeah.
In so, the middle.
Yeah, lower middle. So it goes from, like, untrained private to trained private, corporal, master corporal, and then sergeant, and the upper leadership. You just go take your courses, right? So it's right. A matter of taking time off to take the courses, to get qualified. I mean, I didn't start doing photography for the military until about 3 years ago, after I kind of got into the environment and people kind of, I guess, trusted me to not, you know, do something stupid. At that point, it wasn't really official. It was, hey, do you need any photos for recruiting, you know, for like stuff like that? And they're like, yeah, okay, you know, you could take a few pictures. And then once they saw the photos from the first shoot, they're like, oh, this guy actually knows what he's doing. And then after that point, you know, people started trusting me more. And then people started to see my work within the organization. And then I guess my name kind of spread around. I mean, right now, I go to random events and people come up to me. It's like, oh yeah, you're that guy who makes the cool army photos. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But, yeah, I mean, it started off with people not really not knowing who I am or what I did. And then I really had to earn that trust and show them that, you know, I wasn't going to do anything stupid or whatever. Right. So,
we see a lot of photos in your in-service section of your website that were taken down in the States.
Yeah.
What's the deal with it?
Mainly because we don't have a military range up here where we can blow shit up long distance.
Explicit.
The closest range, as far as I know, is Alberta, and that's like a 14-hour drive.
Right.
And the States is only, I think, six to 7 hours away. So we go down to Yakima Training Center, which is about a 6-hour drive, maybe seven. Yeah, I mean, mainly we go down there because, yeah, that's like the only place we can fire, which is, okay. What I should say is we've got a rifle range in Chilliwack, which we do shoot at, okay. But to do all the long distance artillery and mortar shit where we blow shit up and fuck shit up long distance,
right?
We've got to go down to Yakima, and that's like the closest place.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. We noticed too, like, you were down in Pasadena. I don't know, like, that looked like a different kind of operation that you were on there. Flying around in helicopters over the city, I guess, with spotlights and stuff. It kind of reminded me of an episode of Cops or something.
Yeah.
but like, what was the deal with that?
That was purely law enforcement. So it wasn't military. It was just like a day in the life of air operations. So, I mean, I guess the police down there have a much bigger budget. They've got helicopters flying 12 hours a day. So they brought me up for like two flights and say, you know, hey, you're free to take pictures of what we do. So I kind of just documented them getting their helicopters ready and just like going up and responding to calls and just doing their thing.
Where was that connection made? Because of your military photographs or
bribery or
a little bit of bribery going on? No, it was mainly my trip down to LA. I was working on personal projects to kind of work with artists and stuff, and I figured I might as well see if any police departments would want to do anything while I'm down there. So I sent them an email and they said, yeah, you know, come on down. We'll stick you in a helicopter and we'll do a ride along. So
cool. What was that experience like? Like, I guess you've ridden in helicopters with the military.
I don't think I have. Well, I did, but it was after that time in Pasadena.
Because a couple of those shots, it looked like you were hanging out the side.
Yeah, yeah, I basically was. They put me on cable and just, like, dropped me to the ground on it.
Did you shit your pants?
Almost, yeah. Actually, that shoot was the first time I used a puke bag.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That wow. They put me in a plane, it was just brutal. I never get sick riding planes, but I guess looking through a viewfinder with wide angle and like right. them like zipping yeah. through mountains side to side, it got pretty rough.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So
that wasn't a helicopter, that was a plane.
I was both. So day one was with the plane, day two was a helicopter. Oh, okay. Helicopter was way more gentle. So
yeah.
Yeah, the guys were like, yeah, don't worry, you know, tomorrow's gonna be okay. You're not gonna need the puke bag tomorrow. Nice. So yeah. But yeah, for Pasadena it was pretty cool. It was a really small helicopter. It was it's probably smaller than Sean's car. You just like crammed inside and I couldn't really move around. So, I mean, the shots you see, it's basically the same viewpoint because I can't really move around.
Yeah.
And aww. There's not much kind of angle because if you stick your camera outside the helicopter, the downwash and the wind would just like rip it out of your hand. And it would just go crazy. Flying and wow. it'd probably kill someone on the ground. So they said, don't do it.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, it was super limited. I could only sit in my seat. I was strapped down. My camera was strapped to me. I could look left, right, front. So the shots from that were pretty similar and
yeah,
not much variety.
Yeah.
Whereas the military stuff, I could actually get on my seat, just walk around.
Yeah.
Because they tie me to the ceiling. They've got like a little, they call it a monkey tail. So it's basically a, I guess like a nylon rope to make sure you don't fall out of the helicopter.
Yeah.
And you just like walk around and it's totally fine.
So crazy. I like it. Sean told me you wanted to go overseas.
I think it'd be a good learning experience to see what it's like and to experience something new because I've never done anything like that. So I mean, yeah, if the opportunity came up, I would probably do it, depending mm-hmm. on how long I'd have to go away for. If it was a year, I probably wouldn't, but if it's a couple months, I think it'd be worth the life experience to see what it's like and to go see something different. Because all the friends who have gone overseas, they've come back and they said, you know, you should really go because you learn a lot.
Yeah. Can you tell us about your upcoming projects?
Upcoming projects. I just wrapped up a couple projects. So, I mean, for me right now, it's more about, I guess, self-promotion, seeing where I want to go and just like, kind of just updating my portfolio. Because mm-hmm. Right now my portfolio is kind of outdated.
Yeah, it's really outdated.
Okay. Yeah, it's really old. I need to fucking burn it. Yeah, I mean, mostly it's updating my portfolio, kind of planning what I want to do over the next year. Mm-hmm. And then I'm working on a couple design projects as well. So, I mean, right now, one of the things I'm working on is how do I build a better elevator control interface? Because my friend's building. I mean, Edward, if you're listening to this, your fucking elevator sucks. basically. Yeah, I mean, like what I guess the approach that I want to take to design is how do I make the world a better place? How do I redesign everyday objects so that they function better, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, on my website, I guess the boarding pass was kind of the first step. I mean, that was 3 years ago when I got this boarding pass from Air Canada that looked like absolute shit and you couldn't find what you're looking for. Like,
can't agree more.
But yeah, I mean, whether or not they used it, I don't know. I mean, they have made some improvements last time I flew, so hopefully I made it a impact. But if not, I mean, most of those were kind of common sense fixes, so it doesn't take a fucking genius to do it. Yeah.
Say hi to Air Canada.
Hi, Air Canada. It just takes the will and the motivation to make the change.
Yeah.
It's really not that hard. I mean, any half-decent designer would be able to make improvements, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm some rock star, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah, when we were creeping on your website...
I like creepers.
Yes, that's us. And yeah, what caught our eyes was one of your projects with Jeff Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about how did you connect with him?
That was really random, actually. Actually, one of my friends, you probably know her too, Jennifer Koo.
Yeah.
So basically, Jennifer referred me to the writer who was writing an article for this magazine. And yeah, basically she was like, oh, do you want to photograph an artist in his studio? And I said, yes. I didn't really know who it was until I guess it was later. And I didn't really know who Jeff Wall was. I mean, I heard his name kind of thrown around in art school and art class. Dude. Yeah, just, you know, just some dude, right?
Some guy.
Some guy with a cool name.
Yeah, so I mean, basically it was a really quick shoot. It wasn't what I typically do because I had to photograph him the same day or the same time that she was interviewing him. So I had maybe 10, 20 minutes at each location. And it was basically just kind of photographing him at work and kind of his environment and what he's kind of doing. And yeah. Does that answer your question? Sorry, I can't remember everything. Probably. Okay.
What was your impression of him? Like in those photos, he looks like a pretty serious guy. I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's, from what I remember, yeah, he's a pretty serious guy. No, he's a cool dude. I'm surprised to see artists wearing Prada pants.
Wow.
So he's doing pretty well. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't think I can appreciate photography as much as, like, a classically trained photographer would. Like, I don't quite understand what he does fully. So.
Okay. Oh, I love Albert. He's awesome.
So I don't think I can fully appreciate what he's kind of done for the photo world. As ignorant as it sounds, I don't get it. Okay.
Make sure you save the file.
Yeah.
No, he's only the most famous Canadian photographer. Yeah, okay.
All right. I got it.
Like this guy like changed photography.
Who wears Prada?
Oh, I'm gonna sound like such an ignorant dick.
That's fine.
But yeah, I mean, I wasn't really trained classically as a photographer, so I don't know all the nuances and all the details and everything, because I am friends with other photographers and kind of do what he does, kind of, like, kind of his style, kind of his, I don't know, like, that type of work, which I don't really get. Yeah, well, I really don't know what photography is and whether or not it matters in my career, because photography has kind of your own take on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have, my take to photography isn't that traditional approach.
It's, or, like, you're not trying to, like, stimulate new critical
ideas exactly. I don't,
around the medium or whatever, you know, like, that's...
Exactly, I guess that's what he does. yeah, I mean, that's not really my thing. Probably wouldn't be very good at it, obviously. but, yeah, I guess my take is more contemporary. I think sometimes people take photography a little bit too seriously. I mean, you hear these stories about, you know, pictures having 1,000 words or whatever. But for anybody really interested, I mean, Errol Morris has a really good video on YouTube. I forgot what it's called. I'll give it to you. You can put it in the show notes if you want.
Sure, yeah.
But, I mean, basically, he kind of explores photography, what it's about and what it's not. I think people put too much emphasis on the truth. You know, people say, well, obviously, this is a photograph of something and it must be the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they leave out is photography is devoid of context. You don't see time before and after. You see a split second. Oftentimes, it's a split second that the human eye can't even perceive, which is why you get these hilarious photos of Olympic skaters with fucked up faces. and obviously, you wouldn't see that in like, you know, your day-to-day life. You wouldn't kind of catch that moment, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean... And then you put a lot of your own kind of meaning and context on top of photographs. So, I mean, I guess basically what I'm trying to say is photographs are not really truth. And people need to understand that, you know, like a photograph is just photograph.
Yeah.
That's, you know, a huge, don't take it fast.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Am I getting too artsy?
I was just going to say, like, I feel like you just took like 6 steps closer to Jeff Wall. Yeah.
Well,
you're like in his realm now.
Well, I don't know about that.
Just by the way, who designed and developed your website?
I designed it, and then Vincent Alvin helped me develop it.
And do you have any plans to exhibit work in the future? Why or why not?
Never. Well, not really, because it seems like it's really hard to get into, and it doesn't really seem like it's my thing. If anybody wants to exhibit my work, I'm open to it, but I don't really have any plans to do it myself. I had this one idea that we should do an army exhibit because all the army does is they think of ways to engage the community, and it ends up being things that the PNE, and it's not really effective. I mean, your demographic going to the PNE is going to be very limited. And what you're showing to the general audience is like, oh, here's a machine gun, here's our truck, you know, this is kind of what we do, you can meet us. But I think if the Army actually put on a media exhibition, it would connect with the city as a whole a lot better. Mm-hmm. And you get a deeper connection because you actually go there to experience the space, you have some quiet time, you can, you know, read, you can watch the videos. You can get a feel for not really only what we do, but kind of who the people are. You know, it's a more human face. Like, the general perception is, you know, the Army is this kind of, like, tough, kind of mean killing machine. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I guess perception is changing a little bit. I guess it might be a little bit naive to think that Canada is, well, no, it's political. I'm not going to get into that. But, yeah, to get back into the exhibition thing, I think it would have been really cool to really showcase, you know, photographs and videos of kind of soldiers in their day-to-day life, so that people kind of get a feel for what it's like to be in the military and who people are instead of just what they see on CNN, right? Because CNN's incredibly negative. I don't watch mainstream news anymore because it's just depressing. You're not meant to see the fucking bad days of 7 billion people, right? I mean, that's just too big. So, I mean, for me, I cut out the newspapers, I cut out mainstream media, and just focus on where I want to go in life.
Mm. Cool. Can you crack a walnut between your thighs?
I haven't tried yet.
No?
I'm like, what question is that? Yeah. So, where can people find you online?
Well, you can go to my website, albertlaw.ca. On Instagram, it's Airscape, or find me on Facebook. I've got Twitter, but I barely use it, although I should probably use it a little bit more often, but just haven't gotten around to it.
Nice. And are you currently taking on projects? Client work, I guess I should say? Or?
Yeah, I'm trying to get more client work right now with photography, so we'll see what happens.
Not design?
No, I've kind of set design kind of aside for now. Cool. So it's been purely photography for the past year. And it will be probably only photography for the next year, and I'll see where it goes.
Cool.
Sexy.
All right. So, as you know, you can reach us at makingconversation.ca, and we have links to our iTunes subscription, or our iTunes channel. We also got links there for our Twitter, which is at making_convo on Twitter. And we have killed our bad at makingconversation.ca and hello at makingconversation.ca email addresses because nobody uses them.
Nobody.
And I was kind of tired of checking 10 email accounts. So I...
Is this where all the hate mail from my Jeff Wall comments are going?
So all of this hate mail you can send to feedback@makingconversation.ca. That's nice. Our only point of contact. Other than you can hit us up on Twitter as much as you like, or also on Facebook. We got a page. So and the other thing we would love you to do, all of you listeners out there,
dance naked.
That's just Sean.
And give us a review on iTunes because we don't have any action on iTunes right now, and that would
give us a one star.
Yeah, you can one star us and write hate mail there. That'd be great.
So. Don't worry, you get lots on this fucking episode.
And
especially from Jeff Wall's side.
Oh yeah, fuck, what was I thinking? Should have prepared.
Yeah. And the other place you can find us, where all of our files are hosted, is on SoundCloud. So we've officially moved over to SoundCloud because SoundCloud's cool.
Cooler.
And you can check out this episode, obviously, there in your podcast client or on our website. So thanks a lot for joining us today, Albert.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
BFF, best friend forever.
Love you too.
Yes.